Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, today we're going to be continuing our study on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And the topic is one that, well, a lot of people misuse, and the verse is kind of taken out of context a lot of times, I'm afraid. But that verse is, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." So remember, as you read this passage, remember all those other things that Christ has just said in the same sermon. He talked about the law not passing away. He talked about how even to look on a woman and lust after her was adultery. He taught us how to pray, how to fast, how to store up treasure in heaven instead of here on this earth. And the beginning of this chapter in Matthew, chapter 7, it's still part of the same sermon. He hasn't started a new one. So as you read this, be sure and keep it in context of the verses before it and those after it. So keep all that in mind as we go ahead and turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds this morning.
As we continue in our study on the Sermon on the Mount, we come to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, and I've entitled this part of the message, "Judge Not." The Bible says in verse number 1, "Judge not, that you be not judged." That's very simple, is it not? Matthew 7, verse 1 states, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Why would Christ say for us not to judge? Well, it is really very simple. Christ, you see, is a judge. We are not. That's simple enough, isn't it? We are His servants, right? We are His servants. We belong to the Lord. He tells us what to do. We don't tell anybody what to do. Boy, this is certainly takes the wind out of our sails, doesn't it? Remember this. Jesus Christ is the final judge. We are not the final judge. We don't have any right to tell anybody what to do. Because of our sinful nature, we think others must conform to whatever we say. But we are missing a very vital point. We must conform to whatever Christ says because we are His servants. Others should also conform to whatever Christ states, but it is their problem if they don't. We are responsible only for our own actions. We are not responsible for the actions of another. Think with me about the angels that sinned. The Bible states that a third of these angels were against God and were sinning, and they were cast out as well. The angels that did not sin were not cast out, were they? The same thing is true for us. Others may sin against God, but listen, we stand by ourselves when we are judged. Notice, Matthew 7, verse 1, the Bible says again, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." Verse 2 states this, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." The Bible states very clearly here that the same judgment that we judge with, we will be judged by. Notice that. Very vital truth. The Bible states in verse number 3, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" Jesus Christ said in verse number 5, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now, in spite of all of what Jesus Christ has said, I know that we judge others. I know we do. Listen, there is a difference, however, in our influence on those around us and our judging them. There's a vast amount of difference in those two things. We ought to have a good influence on people around us, not a bad influence. Just as the angels that sinned against God had an influence against them because of the good angels that did not sin against them. You see, we are also responsible for helping those around us if we can, if they will let us. We need to be careful of our own selves. As stated in verse number 5, because Christ will see us as being a hypocrite if we don't take the beam out of our own eye before we try to help those around us. Verse 1 and 2 gives us the reason to judge no person, regardless of what they do, regardless of how they live, regardless of why they do what they do. It is pretty clear from a complete reading of this passage that if we see a mote, that is a speck in a brother's eye, and removing that mote is good. But it can only be done when the beam, that is the log, is discovered and recognized by us as a log and removed from our own eye first. This thought is a reflection of Matthew 5, verse 21 through verse number 26. Now, we've already preached on this subject, but notice that we can be guilty of hell fire if we do not leave our gift at the altar and clear up the difficulty with a brother before we give our gift to God. This is what Matthew 5, verse 21 through verse number 26 states. Let me read that passage. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Now that's what people had said. But verse 22 states, "But I say unto you, but whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." You see, the Bible states very clearly here in verse number 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." This is plainly what Jesus Christ is stating. You see, some people believe it is wrong to have judges of any sort because they haven't read the entire passage, nor do they understand what it means to judge or not to judge. For example, one time, I was visiting a person in jail. Now, this person was in jail for robbing a store of some sort, and he was shooting at the owner of the establishment several times at point-blank range. The owner was very glad. The robber was a very extremely bad shot and highly excitable, for he was not killed. If I'm not mistaken, he was only hit one time. The prisoner was going before the judge, who had sentenced him for his awful crime. This jailbird, he was in jail, and he was guilty, no doubt about it. The jailbird opened his Bible to this passage and declared that the judge was going against Scripture by judging him. Because the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 1, "Do not judge." Now, this man certainly had the wrong idea of what this passage means, doesn't he? This passage doesn't mean it is wrong for our country or for any country to have judges who rule in legal matters with authority. God Himself established the authority of judges over Israel, who would rule in legal matters with authority. God Himself established the authority of kings and judges. So this passage before us in Matthew 7 verse 1 certainly doesn't teach that God cannot judge, nor that God can judge evil men through men he gives authority to. It is very obviously wrong not to have any judges at all. For if there were no judges, there would be no justice at all. One thing that is often forgotten about God, he is not only a God full of love and compassion, but he is also a God full of wrath, hate, and vengeance. Understand that that is so. We are sinners in the sight of Almighty God. And he is the final authority. He is the God that we serve. We do not serve ourselves, but we serve the living and the true God. In certain instances, you see, God gave his people the right to judge. It is incorrect judging, not correct judging, that Christ is here concerned with. An example of this is given to us in the book of 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11 through verse number 13. The Bible said in this place, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat." The Bible says in verse number 12, "For what have I to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within?" Verse 12 states very clearly and very explicitly here that Christ wants his church, the church at Corinth, to judge those that are within that have sinned. That's what it says. Verse 13. "But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." What Christ is telling the church here, the church at Corinth, Christ is telling this church that it is right for them to judge those people that are in their congregation, that have committed willing sins. It is good for them to put that person out, because outside of the church is where God judges. Inside the church is where the people judge. That's what the Bible says. And so they were to exclude this person from their fellowship. You see in this place that Christ has built his local church, the church at Corinth, and he commanded that church to command its own members. They are ordained by God to so do. The word judge appears twice in verse 12 and once in verse 13. This is exactly the same Greek word as in Matthew 7 verse 1, which states, "Judge not that ye be not judged." You see, Christ in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 11 through verse 13 is telling the church to judge, to exclude from the fellowship and to exclude from the membership of the local church the person that has committed fornication with his father's wife. This evildoer is a member of the local church at Corinth, and certainly he should be held accountable for his sins against the wife, against his own father, against a church he is a member of, and against the God who he says has saved his eternal soul. That is as clear as it can be said. So judging is not necessarily wrong. It is incorrect judging that Christ is speaking of in Matthew 7, verse 1 through verse number 5. Another time that Paul correctly instructs the church at Corinth to judge people is found in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 3. The Bible said here in this place, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Look at that. Verse number 2. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels, how much more things that pertain unto this life. Notice here, Christ is saying to the Corinthian church that we shall judge angels. The Bible says that we shall judge the world. That's what the Bible says. You see, what Jesus Christ is talking about in Matthew 7 is not just judging, but he's talking about incorrect judging. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 1 through 3, the church at Corinth refused to judge even the smallest matter between two church members. You see, in this place, the church members, instead of judging each other, were going to court against each other and allowing unsaved people to make a ruling over the smallest matters of contention. This is incorrect. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 2, the scriptures declare, "The saints shall judge the world." It is the exact same Greek word used in Matthew 7 and verse number 2. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3, the scriptures declare, "The saints shall judge the world." Again, this is the exact same word. Listen, the Bible states in the book of 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 1, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Christ is the final judge. And all of the judgments that we do upon this earth ought to be done at the direction of Jesus Christ himself. All of the judgments that we pronounce upon this world must be accomplished just as if Jesus Christ himself were here judging people and pronouncing judgment upon them. To emphasize the fact that we, that's being saved people, we're the servants of Christ, and he is the final judge, therefore, we should not ever condemn anybody simply because we are saved and they are not. Hebrews 10 verse 30 explains that vengeance belongs to God. He will judge. We will not. The Bible states in Hebrews 10 verse 30, "For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord." And again, "The Lord shall judge his people." So all of the judgments that we have upon this earth should be in direct alignment with what God will judge. If the judgments that we give is not aligned directly with God, then we that judge will be held accountable for that. Hebrews 13, verse number 4 states, "Marriage is honorable unto all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge." Again, we should not judge anybody, even whoremongers and even adulterers. God might save them, add them to his church, and make a fine Christian example of them. We just simply don't know what God will do. God did save the woman at the well, didn't he? And she was a woman who no doubt was an adulterer. But God saved her, cleansed her, and made her a great witness even unto this day. God also saved the thief on the cross, did he not? Neither of these individuals deserve salvation, did they? They didn't. But then, neither do we. We can greatly rejoice in our own personal salvation because we did absolutely nothing to deserve salvation. It is only by the grace of Almighty God that any of us have anything to brag about. And we must brag about Christ and not us or anything we have ever done. We must brag about what Jesus Christ has done for us. He is the righteous God. He is the one that has saved our eternally doomed soul. There is no doubt that Christ will judge every person for their own wickedness. Luke 19, verse 22 and 23 declares that Christ will righteously judge the things we say that are not true. Luke 19, verse 22 and 23 states, "And he saith unto them, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee." Wow! "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Therefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury." You see, nobody is going to get away with anything at all. So it is senseless to try to make God judge a person or to make God be lenient toward a person. Our place is to be as good an example to them as we can be. And the only way we can be a good example to them is for us to be obedient unto Christ. John 12, verse 47 through 48, informs us that God, in the last days, shall judge those that reject his word. The Bible says here, "And if any man will hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This makes it very clear, does it not? That the word of God is more important than we are. What God says in his word ends it all, does it not? The correct way for us to judge is found in the following scriptures. Matthew 7, verse 1 through 5 states very clearly, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye." This passage from Christ's Sermon on the Mount expresses that we have no business judging anybody with our own judgment. We must judge everything according to the eternal judgment of God, for he is the final judge. Verse 2 gives a warning that God will judge us according to the way we judge others. Verse 3 tells us that there is a difference in the way we behold a mote, that's a very small thing, in somebody's eye, but do not even consider the beam that is a very large object in our own eye. Verse 4 illustrates the ridiculous idea of a person trying to retrieve a very small item from his neighbor's eye when he can't even see the telephone pole sticking out of his own eye. Verse 5 tells us there's nothing wrong with trying to help a brother remove some small insignificant sin from their own lives, but it is also good, it's very good, if we would consider ourselves before we try to straighten somebody else out. Always look at ourselves. What will we do? This is exactly what is referred to in Matthew 5, verse 21 through verse number 26, which tells us about our own errors and how that we ought to get our own brothers to forgive us of our own sins before we give anything to the Lord. Now, at this point, we could read the entire 14th and 15th chapters of Romans, so we can easily get a grasp on what it really means to judge others. But we don't have time for all that. Just read Romans 14 and verse 14, and Romans 14 and verse number 13. The first verse, Romans 14, 4, states, "Who art thou that judgeth another man's servants? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." Romans 14:13 states, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. These are two verses that expressly speak about not judging others. As I stated before, the entire 14th and 15th chapters of Romans need to be really read and grasped to understand what it really means to judge others. It is not our place to set a standard of right and wrong for anybody. We are all creatures of sin. The Bible has already set the true standard, and everybody must look to Christ, who gives us the standard, who gives us the Holy Scriptures, who gives us the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ is preaching to us. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 5, Paul is not concerned with the judgment of the Corinthian church, either for him or against him. But he is very concerned with the judgment of God. This is exactly how we ought to be. We will never be able to please everybody. We can't do that. If we would diligently seek to please the Lord, because we are His servants, He will very ably take care of us. In James 4, verse 10 through 12, the Bible states we're to never to judge anybody, because in that we become the law. That's the same as us becoming the standard of righteousness instead of letting God be that standard. This is a very serious accusation. We need to always do what God wants us to do because we are His servants, not anybody else. Notice in the book of Luke 6, verse 37 and 38, the Bible said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Listen, beginning in Luke 6, verse 39, and continuing to the end of the chapter, Christ gives a parable to them concerning not judging. The meaning of this parable is simple. When we don't judge others, when we don't condemn others, but we are very careful to do what God instructs us to do, God will not judge us. He will not condemn us, and He will forgive us. We need God because we are His servants. He is the Savior of our souls. He is the one that we serve. He is our Master.
You know, we pray that the message this morning has been a good reminder of what the Bible means here in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus says, judge not that ye be not judged. Now, we are really glad you were able to join us this morning, and we'd like to once again extend an invitation for you to come and join us for services. We'll be meeting at 124 South Main Street in Forestell, Missouri. Now, Forestell, if you're not familiar with where that is, Forestell is right off of Interstate 70. It's just west of Wentzville, Missouri. Our services this morning will be starting at 10 a.m. with Sunday school. Then we'll have an 11 a.m. worship service, and then we'll get back together at 3:45 in the afternoon for a prayer meeting, and that prayer meeting will be followed by 4:30 worship services. Now, we're also going to be meeting on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study, and you guys are welcome to come to any of those services. Now, for additional information about our church or for some great Bible resources, I'd encourage you to check out our website at www.independencebaptist.org. From the website, you'll be able to listen to our prior radio broadcasts. Our summer revival services have been posted out there. And then there are also going to be a lot of different books and articles covering a pretty wide range of biblical topics. Those are out there for you to read and download. Now, in addition, we'd like for you to check out our full-length sermons. Those can be found on the website sermonaudio.com/IBC. Well, our time once again has gotten away from us, but we do want to thank you for listening, and we look forward to joining you again next Sunday at 8 a.m.